Hi, you're listening to Out of the Canon. I'm Jeff Glees.
And I'm Adam Richmond.
It's nice to see you again.
Oh, back to part two.
Absolutely. Again. Yeah, part two. Another part two. I like these part two things. I hope that the editing's worked out that you were left on a cliffhanger.
Oh, there'll be a cliffhanger.
Or should we pretend we know what that was?
No, we won't pretend.
Oh, that film. Ooh, that was a good one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wait till you hear what the next one's going to be, because that is a corker. It's the best film ever made, I'm going to wager.
Yeah, so dive into part two, and we're going to have some food.
Yeah, great.
American Psycho.
Oh, now, that's a bit of a controversial one for me.
Why?
Because I read the book, and again, it's like the beach, I was fucking completely blown away by that book, like, I had no idea that's what that was. I knew it was a cult book. I'd read another, I forget which one. I think it was The Informers, Bret Easton Ellis' book, and really, really liked it. And I think I went to visit my sister, and I was waiting for a coach home, and I had nothing to read, so I just went to a shop, and it was there, so I bought it. Going like, yeah, well, Bret Easton Ellis, yeah. And it's like, if you haven't read the book, you absolutely should, because it's a really fucking good book. And
when you get a bit, people forget, it's so funny.
It's funny, and when, you know, I think maybe when you're a bit older than I was when I read it, you understand the subtext of it.
I got it when I read it when I was about 16.
Right.
I can't oh, fuck.
I know there's some of that it ties it in, but ultimately, I mean, Bret Easton Ellis has famously said since that was just a book about my dad, basically.
If you've seen Wall
but
Street...
But I was obsessed with, like, serial killers at that age.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Did you go through a phase of that?
Not really. I was...
Not obsessed, just fascinated. It's like, how does that happen?
Mm,
I think from watching Silence of the Lambs and growing up with that.
Just... Yeah, because I never got it as the kind of the insight into a serial killer. I got it as an insight of the...
Exactly,
the
yeah, yeah.
The banality of, you know, sort of money and...
Yeah, and it's the time that it was written in the 80s of that obsession with wealth and power. It's like, this is almost like a logical conclusion to the world that you've tried to create. And anyway, it's probably the most shocking thing, like, I've ever read or seen.
Ever?
Yeah, I think so. Can't think of anything else that's...
That's more shocking stuff than that. I mean, if you read the Marquis de Sade, it's pretty much ripped off.
I haven't read any Marquis de Sade.
It's fucked. It's very much informed by that. I mean,
it's really brutal, and the graphicness. I mean, the scene with the rat.
I'm
not going to ruin it.
No, I don't even want to talk about it.
I couldn't believe I was hearing those words out of anyone's mouth. We all like to sometimes let our minds run away with this. Oh, what's something really fucked up?
You begin like this.
But I couldn't have gone that far. Like, it really shocked me.
Yeah.
But in a good way.
But, yeah, again, the Marquis de Sade did this.
Okay. Fair enough.
A lot before.
But also, it's very funny. Now, when a film came out, me and my friends, who I'd encouraged them to read the book, we obviously were, you know, there as soon as we could see it. We were excited. And we fucking hated it the first time we saw it. It was like that. There's none of that in there. It wasn't shocking. It was played down. It was too funny.
The book's not about. Yeah, you see, for you then, because the book isn't about the violence. The book is about the
violence.
The
violence is important to hammering home. Not hammering home. It's important to like setting off the taper on the bomb.
Yeah, but the film is as violent as it needs to be. You can't be as more violent.
I think they could have gone further, but yeah, see, what I'm saying is now when I watch it, I don't feel that. I really fucking love the film, and I really love Christian Bale as Patrick Bateman. I think he is so good in that.
He did so much that he worked out
so
much.
Yeah.
He had his teeth capped. that is his best role he's ever done.
You could be right there. Yeah.
And it's so good, and it's so well made. It's brilliantly written.
The production design and the cinematography as well are really, really good. Like they too, it's so perfect.
Directed by a woman. Directed by a woman.
Well, there you go.
It can't be sexist, can it?
Uh huh. Well, but they did. Again, we've talked about adaptations. They captured the essence of the book and made it work on film, and they made it its own beast. And
very rare
through. You know, good direction and excellent casting, you know, mainly in the main role, although Chloe Sevigny was very good as his, downtrodden secretary as well. It really is, and I think also kind of overlooked now.
Oh, yeah, massively.
And
it was
think
really,
that's a shame.
It was, it's because everyone working on that they wanted to make something. You can't make that book as it's written on the page. So, and they knew that. It was almost in their favour, but they knew that they could make the spirit of it, which is the satire and the wit. And yeah, he just throws himself into it. It's very, very funny. Just talking about it, now I haven't seen it in years. It makes me want to watch it again.
Oh, it's one of those films that's always fun to watch, though, as well.
Kevin and Perry Go Large.
Oh, God, you didn't. You didn't.
I did, mate. I did. And that was, oh, fuck, man, that was my double bill on the same day as American Psycho.
Fucking hell.
It's American Psycho at 2:40, Kevin and Perry right after at 5:45.
Oh, there you go.
Fuck's sake. I'm not going to say a word about that. I had a lovely, lovely meal, and I decided to wash my mouth out with dog shit.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Nice.
Talking metaphorically.
Yeah.
no, that's it. No more.
Fine.
The day after, I saw Scream 3.
Oh! Now, that's the one with Buffy in it, isn't it?
Oh, for God's sake. No, Buffy's in Scream 2.
Oh, okay.
Scream 2 is the much maligned... well, it wasn't initially the ending of the trilogy. Scream 4 paid to that. But yes,
no, Scream 2's good.
No, Scream 2's excellent. Yeah. Scream 3... I saw Scream 3.
Isn't that the one with Buffy in it?
No, oh, Scream 2. I've said it twice. Scream 3...
Someone's got to test your facts.
...is the much maligned ending of the trilogy. Right. Written by... for the first time written by someone else other than Kevin Williamson. Erin Kruger. A real shit-out.
Freddy Krueger's daughter.
A real shit-out of a scriptwriter. And yeah, it's just not good. They go to Hollywood and it's very meta, even more meta.
Well, they just retrod all that old postmodern
crap. Yeah, it's not worth it.
Yeah, first two Scream films I think are very good. Forget about the rest.
I went to see Another American.
And okay.
I'm guessing it was probably...
Let me see that.
American Pie. I probably saw American Pie twice.
There's no way you'd know, wouldn't there?
There's a few Americans. There's so many Americans. So, you know, I'll look into it.
I know. Let's move to China.
I saw Scream 3 twice.
Okay, cool. Well,
I'm sorry I saw it twice.
You have to apologise.
I feel like... Just... I've just said I didn't like it and then I went to see it twice. I don't know what was going
but
on.
But people do that, though. You're not that abnormal. There are loads of people out there.
I don't do that anymore. I think that's a shameful thing to do. I must have thought it was all right.
I think the only thing that bothers me now is, like, I'm like, I think, like, you got to give money to films that you want to succeed. So it's like, if there's a film, like, I'm really fucking annoyed I only saw Dread once. Like, I should have gone back to see that 3 times.
Yeah.
Just to help get the fucking... Because it deserved to make more money. Mm. And then there are other really good films, like Miss in the Cinema, and then watch and go, uh-huh. And it's fucking, it's because, you know, obviously... The industry is so driven by ticket sales now.
Yeah, but you don't go back to see a film that you thought was all right.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm thinking that actually that is a bit wrong. You shouldn't. If you really hate the film, don't go back again because you're only encouraging them.
I don't know. I can't. Like, I don't know what was going on in my fucking head. Man on the Moon.
Ah, Man in the Moon.
Man on the Moon.
Man on the Moon.
Milos Forman's biopic of. Yeah. You know, you love him.
Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman, yeah.
Do I love him?
So, yeah, you're always doing Andy Kaufman stuff.
No, I'm not.
Wrestling me and, like, dressing up as Elvis. Elvis, aren't you?
Walking up to women in bars and going, "Oh, smell like someone's on their period!" I thought that was a really funny joke.
I didn't see
that till I was in college. Okay. And a friend of mine was like, "Oh, we have to watch this." I brought it round, you know, and he brought a selection of DVDs round. And I was like, "Oh, Jim Carrey, I don't even know." And he was like,
"Why did you
let me put it on?" And I was like, "I don't trust your taste. You're Norwegian. You think Coldplay are a good band." And he said, "Shut up. Just let me put it on."
Shut up. And I let me just put it on.
Yeah, shut up. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I know. It's all the same.
Get your ass to mess. absolutely fell in love with it.
Why were you down on Jim Carrey at that point?
Because I think I'd grown out of him.
He hadn't put a foot wrong.
What do you mean?
Ace Ventura, The Mask, Dumb and Dumber,
yeah, but you grow out
Truman
of it.
Show.
No, it's...
Grow out of it.
Liar, Liar.
Liar, Liar is funny.
It's not, man. He totally overdid his thing.
Yeah, Ace Ventura 2.
I do, like, again, there's a friend of ours, Joff. He was like, "What are you talking about? Ace Ventura is amazing."
Just imagining his face as he says that.
Yeah, no. And I was like, "Are you serious?" And he's like, "Really funny." And then we I think it was on TV one time when we were living together. We watched it and we both, yeah, cried and laughed.
Yeah, it's fucking brilliant. But
still, though.
Still what? Okay, so yeah, that's where you're down. So yeah, Man on the Moon.
Well, that's what turned me around about Jim Curry. Like, good. It's such a fucking good film. And I don't much go in for these biopics and stuff. But they fucking nail that one. And it's an interesting story that they're telling, I think. And they had a really, really good angle on it. And it's got everything that's sad, it's funny, but you never know what's going to happen next, which I think is true to the career of Andy Kaufman. It's a really, really, really fucking well done film with, you know, its heart is in the right place. And if you haven't seen that one, if you dismissed it as I had, don't. It's well worth it.
Boiler Room. Sort of this middling...
Fincher?
No one famous directed it. Ben Affleck pops up in a little cameo, but it's more... who's the main guy? It's a sort of a kind of a noughties Wall Street.
Right.
And it's kind of got this Mamet-light script. It wishes it was Glengarry Glen Ross, basically. These guys selling dodgy shares... And it's about, you know, the quick rise. It's the rise and fall of...
I caught some of this, actually.
It's kind
on
of...
On TV once.
Yeah.
And I quite liked
Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel's in it.
Right. Okay.
But he's not the main guy. This is when he was bubbling under. He was in that, and then he was in Saving Private Ryan, and then he was everywhere, Fast and Furious.
And he was in Pitch Black, or whatever it was called. It was Pitch actually Black. Really good.
Yeah, it's quite good. Gladiator.
Oh!
See, this year's really fucking fallen off big time.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, in terms of quality?
Yeah.
There's still Gladiator, still considered a landmark film, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's when there's a BFI, a series of BFI screenwriter lectures, and one of the co-writers of that, I think, William Nicholson, he talks about how...
Hello, William, if you're listening.
Yeah, hello. He talks about how he came on board and they gave him the script and they're like, we're going to make this... There's pretty much going into production. They're like, can you help us out? Something's not working out on the script. Mm-hmm. And he was like, okay. And he doesn't like war. He doesn't like fighting.
Oh, who does, though?
I know. Oh, I mean...
War.
Oh, this is a war
Stop
picture.
Stop it.
Ugh, get away from me. Yeah. So he created the love interest. He created the obsession with his wife and his dead kid.
Okay.
And so he made it about a man journeying to the afterlife.
Yeah.
You know? So he made it about a man who wasn't about war. He was about wanting to fucking be with his family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I hate the most about the film. It's fucking boring.
Yeah, he doesn't ever sort of... There's no moment of glory for him. You just have to watch this guy get beaten down and then at the end, like, his reward is death. Spoiler alert.
It's very odd. Everyone had the knives out for that film. Everyone was expecting it to be a massive failure. Ridley Scott hadn't done a successful film in a long time. He was coming off the back of White Squall, which no one
never heard of. That.
Jeff Bridges' fucking yachting film,
okay,
with like a big storm,
right?
And then G.I. Jane,
uh-huh,
which was laughed out of everywhere because it had Demi Moore trying to be a Marine.
Yeah.
Everyone thought it was laughable.
Yeah. It's like a kind of film that Homer Simpson would go and see in The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is Ridley Scott, his day is done. And then, oh, well, you're making this big, spending all this money on a big Gladiator picture. Oh, no one watches Gladiator pictures
anymore.
Yeah,
but Oliver Reed's in it, mate. Although, only in parts.
But, yeah,
he used computers to finish off the rest because he died.
Yeah. Well, then it came out and then everyone just fucking loved it. Because apparently... The fact that he loves his wife and kids, blokes could enjoy the violence, and the ladies could enjoy the romance.
Well, it's sort of the precursor to, like, 300 and all that. It was, like, this newfound love for maybe macho heroes, again.
Well, it
seems to strike a chord with a lot of people.
I'd say it's more of a precursor to the film that tries to get both... It tried to get the man and his partner in to see the film in a really cynical way. Bit of action for the fellas and a bit of fucking romance for the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Let's, like, you know, try and please everyone and we'll please no one.
Yeah.
And it might be a better version of that, but it's just completely boring to me. It's not
I don't
art.
Think it works. Yeah, I don't think that it's an unsatisfying film to watch, and I don't like all the stupid fucking early attempts at CGI and stuff. I think they just look really fucking naff. And also, I think it's a shame because Russell Crowe is, I don't know if this is true for anyone else, but for me, he's kind of tainted with that film. It's always the first thing I think of when people say Russell Crowe, and I think it's really unfair because he is actually a good actor.
Well, in The Insider, he fucking blown everyone away in that, but he hasn't really. I first saw him in LA Confidential.
Uh-huh.
I saw him in that, and I loved the book, and I was like, who could do Bud White? He does Bud White. It was amazing.
Yeah,
and then
he's brilliant.
I remember when there was talk of X-Men coming out, and everyone's going, who should be Logan? Who should be Wolverine?
Uh-huh.
And I was just in my head, just going, it's got to be Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
Fucking, he'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Apparently, he passed on it, but he suggested Hugh Jackman.
Right.
So, but anyway,
like Aussies.
Yeah, but the whole thing, I was like, this guy is amazing. And in Romper Stomper.
Yeah, I love that film.
But, you know, he just got significantly, he just got over, he just got more and more boring.
Well, he's a very pretentious guy as well, isn't he?
I still kind of like him.
No,
I think
he's
gonna come
good actor,
good.
And I'm looking forward to seeing him in Man of Steel. I think that, like, when they cast him, at first I was like, And then I thought, no, I reckon this is going to make me smile.
Yeah.
I'm up for this.
I agree. So. I think he's... I don't like the fact that people take the piss out of him because he has the... He wanted to read a poem out when he accepted an award.
Oh,
like,
come on.
No, I mean, come on. What? Why? Oh, like, it's poetry, you fucking fag. It's like, fuck off. Oh, you take yourself seriously, do you? I mean, grow up. Can't we just not laugh at people?
I love poetry, but I think taking yourself seriously at an awards ceremony, as you have backed me up on this previously.
I don't know why,
on people being wanky about, you know, these award ceremonies.
No, but he wasn't...
things in the first place.
I hate award ceremonies.
Your hero Joaquin Phoenix would have done that.
No, but that's the thing. He's subverting it so far as to read out a poem. Is Russell.
Oh, it's subversive, is it?
Well, I just think, why are you...
Limerick would be subversive.
Why are you taking the piss out of someone for giving a shit about something? And being like, I don't know, I don't want to talk about it. Chicken Run.
Okay. Weird that touches that. Chicken Run, Mel Gibson does it again. I'm not interested in another Nick Aardman picture.
That's a fucking callback.
It's my gift to you.
And my giant laugh.
I mean, Chicken Run, fine.
It's good.
At least they didn't put all their eggs in one basket. I've got nothing to say about that.
It's
not interested.
The least good Aardman film, but it's good.
Fine.
All right?
Yeah.
It's probably better.
I like Curse of the Were-Rabbit. And I trust you about pirates. I haven't seen it.
I started off with Chicken Run on this day.
Yeah.
And straight afterwards, I saw Mission Impossible 2.
Oh! Pile of shit.
Awful film.
Yeah.
I loved... John Woo is a fantastic action director when he was working in his homeland.
With his own.
Hard-boiled. Hard-boiled and The Killer. You watch those two films back-to-back, my friend. They'll blow your socks off. But then, Face Off... Broken Arrow.
Face Off's all right.
Mission Impossible 2. Yeah, you can't really watch them again. I loved Face Off when I saw it at the cinema, but it's dated horribly.
Yeah.
There's a great scene where they're on a speedboat fighting.
Oh, God, yeah. It goes on for ages
as
well.
You can see the faces of the stuntmen. And then the speedboat hits something and they fly 40 feet into the air and it goes a massive slow-mo of these stuntmen. I'm doing all the actions. And because it's slow-mo, again, you can see the faces and they're two obvious stuntmen. It's not even close to Nick Cage or John Travolta.
Amazing.
I loved Mel Gibson in these times. The Patriot.
Yeah.
Went to see that.
Nice.
That's a fucking rubbish film. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
Seen that?
No.
Yeah, skip it. It's rubbish.
I don't think so.
Now it's getting better. Well, fucking it. This is summer. This whole bit.
Yeah.
Shit,
see, that's what I was like.
Summer.
Yeah. What's going to happen when summer hits?
This is the summer.
This is it. Gladiator was the big.
Gladiator. The Patriot.
Yeah.
High Fidelity.
Okay. Never been a huge fan of that.
Seen the film. Read the book.
I've read some of the book and I've seen half the film, so it kind of evens out. It's kind of at the point in my life where I felt like stuff like that was trying to be a bit too cool for its own good. But it's probably my problem and not the film's problem or the book's problem. Didn't Nick Hornby work on the screenplay as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. So good for Nick Hornby. And I watched About a Boy a couple of years ago, and I was surprised. Someone forced me to watch that. I was really surprised at how much I actually liked it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very likable stuff.
High Fidelity, I just never thought it was a very interesting story, really.
The books, I this is when I was getting into books. I was reading stuff like High Fidelity, American Psycho, and stuff like that, and sort of readable, but supposedly sort of edgy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, High Fidelity kind of, it's about an older guy, you know, he's, I guess, the age I would be now, and it's sort of failing in life and relationships. Yeah. And I kind of, it spoke to me in a way. I kind of liked how I kind of saw myself as fucking up in the same way he had. So I liked it. I kind of, it had a nice take on relationships, and it made me, it seemed like quite nuanced, and it was kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if
it was. It wasn't just your usual Hollywood drivel.
No, I mean, no, the book.
Take on the romance.
The book.
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
But, no, I mean, not, that kind of romance.
Yeah.
Get, yeah.
Not at all. And there's some really nice... I wouldn't read a Nick Hornby book anymore. That it's sort of for babies.
Uh-huh.
I'd read...
So you were a baby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd read Graham Greene and Richard Yates. Uh-huh. But it's a nice... You know, these are all gateway drugs. So, you know, if I...
Absolutely.
If I met an eight-year-old child, I'd say, yeah, read High Fidelity.
Eight?
I'm being facetious. But the film, you know, it's not, back then it wasn't embarrassing to see John Cusack in a film.
What
now
do you mean?
It is.
Is it?
Well, he's in fucking shit like The Raven and 2012. He's a fucking embarrassment. And he talks about himself as if he's not, and he's a joke.
A bit harsh.
This is a guy who's been in some amazing stuff. And
Gross Point Blank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's in fucking awful stuff now. Time Machine.
I really liked Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh, fucking hell.
That was one of those few occasions when something's so fucking dumb that it works.
Fuck. No.
Well, they're working on the sequel, I think.
The Perfect Storm. Don't worry, we're almost at the end of July. Perfect Storm.
Uh-huh.
George Clooney, Marky Wahlberg.
My dad's favourite film.
Really?
After The Nutty Professor. I'm not joking.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
That's sort of like, you know, White Squall, but times 10.
Right. Well, yeah, I didn't really like it. I guess there's something in it. The ending was kind of shocking.
It's boring, you know, isn't it? Boring.
Not much to it. And yeah, that big CGI wave was stupid. And I have a feeling if you watched it now, you'd just be laughing. Which is a problem with all that stuff. You know, if they'd have made that film in like the 60s or the 70s, by which I mean 1985 to 1993.
Callback within a thing. Amazing.
I reckon, you know, they'd have had to find more interesting ways of, like, capturing that kind of sense of it. And for me, they just kind of... Isn't Mark Wahlberg in that as well?
I sort of muttered that under my breath. But yeah, I find it bizarre, like, Wolfgang Petersen directed it. And this is the guy who directed...
Air Force One?
Yeah, but before that, he directed the one under the submarine, the famous one.
Oh, Das Boot. Red Deep... Oh, sorry.
Das Boot. I'm going to. I need
Red Deep Zero Force,
and that's all about atmosphere and mood. There is no wave.
Exactly,
in that. It's men.
There are no waves under the water.
That's the tagline. And now, as soon as he gets access to a giant CGI wave, it's fucking boring.
I don't know. Yeah, but it's really that's what studios wanted, though.
But Das Boot's tense as fuck.
Yeah, but good. When was that made? 70s?
No. No.
Das Boot. When was it made? I've never seen
1981.
Okay.
Year I was. Yeah. No, I'm not going to say that.
There you go. Now you know. Do you feel sorry for him now, listeners?
So yeah, very, very boring. And then I saw it followed up with a fucking even shitter film, Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yep.
Nick Cage.
Yep.
Appalling film.
Cheers for that. Nick Cage.
X-Men.
The first one?
First X-Men.
Really?
Yeah.
See, again, this is really fucking with my brain.
X-Men 1.
It's definitely X-Men 1, isn't it?
How can... Yeah.
I thought that came out years before this.
Well, it's... No, it's...
So surprising. So, I think, often overlooked in this day and age, the way people are talking about, you know, all your reboots and your remakes and the Avengers, and it's like, oh look at this superhero team-up film. Everyone fucking forgets. X-Men did that first, and they did it without any introductory films, and they fucking pulled it off. But when this whole build-up to the Avengers, they're like, oh, it's really good. Like, and everyone's like, how are they even going to make that work? And it's like, sorry, has everyone forgotten X-Men?
Well, X-Men focused on, it's mainly focused on Wolverine.
Yeah, but that's the good way to do it.
But Avengers has got far more characters going on.
Yeah, but they don't develop those characters much. It's much more throwaway. I mean, I do like the Avengers, but
there's hardly any action in X-Men.
Good.
Well, that's what I want from a fucking X-Men film.
The only problem I have is the bit where they all, like, suit up. And, I mean, the costumes are fucking horrible.
A leather kind of...
Yeah, and Hugh Jackman's character is kind of like, what the fuck is this shit? And then Jean Grey says, what did you expect, yellow spandex? Ooh. And then it has these cuts of everyone's face, sort of smirking and, like, looking at each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, don't do that. Don't do that, mate.
Don't piss on the fucking cartoon.
But really good. No?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Everyone was, again, really down on it. They were thinking...
At the time, were they?
Yeah, they were not expecting it to work.
Is that what they say?
Yes! He's done it.
I couldn't help myself.
You know, comic book properties were not such hot stuff. I think
still struggling to find their feet at that point.
Yeah, there'd been so many misfires.
Did Spider-Man happen yet?
I was just thinking Spider-Man... might well have happened, but
Spider-Man.
It was.
I think it was around the same time. Might have been the year after. Might have been 2001.
But yeah, it certainly was not a sure thing. Everyone was like, "Oh, no one knows who the X-Men are."
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what. It's not about. You know, they was obviously established amongst comic book fans, but at the wider world, no one knew who they were.
Yeah.
So you know, you'd say everyone knows who Spider-Man is. Everyone knows who Batman is.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, Bryan Singer, he hadn't done anything like that before. Mm-hmm. I was really pumped for it. I was like, this is the guy who made Usual Suspects.
Well, exactly. Fucking
this is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not, you know, not amazing, but it's...
I think it's good. I grew up reading X-Men comics. That was the first comic I ever read, and I fucking loved them. So, I think he did a good job, and I think...
But would you bother going back to see it? I wouldn't watch that again. I'd watch maybe X-Men 2. Oh, yeah,
definitely
watch it again.
Definitely.
Really?
Well, X-Men 2 is maybe a bit more racy, but I think the first one has... It delivers the goods, and I think it got something going in a way that hadn't happened before, that you know, Batman 89 had kind of failed to do.
Yeah, definitely.
And also the Superman film series. Like, it was too early back then. Like, filmmakers didn't really know what the fuck they were supposed to do with these stupid characters. X-Men was where they were starting to find a way to do it. And if you look at what that's become today, you know, like I say, I'm a fan of comic books and superheroes, so I'm in hog heaven at the moment. But, like, you know, I don't think we'd be where we are if it wasn't for those X-Men films. I think they started something.
Oh, yeah.
And they deserve some credit.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Thank you, sir.
Scary Movie.
Okay.
I saw this in America. I went to New York.
Oh!
And I wasted...
the premiere.
Wasted my time watching Scary Movie. Don't want to talk about it.
No.
It was...
It's a Wayans Brothers.
It's a rubbish Christ. Film.
They never stop. They're still doing it.
The idea that you would make a fucking parody of... something that was already a satire it's, of something.
No, it's but
fucking
it's
laughable.
Exactly, but making a parody of anything is fucking. It's the stupidest thing to do with your time.
Well,
what a fucking waste.
Airplane's quite funny,
but it's not a straight up thing. The same with Naked Gun. They're not just a straight up parody. They have their own fucking life and their own momentum.
Yeah.
Those Scary Movie things or like Disaster Movie, like they just wheel in things and go, "Have you seen this before?" And you go, yeah. And they're like, well, look, we're doing it. And that makes it funny. Yeah. We're doing it. And it's like, sorry, do you have any of your own ideas for a film? And it's like, well, no. And it's like, fucking grow up then and go and get a job.
Yeah.
Sorry. I feel really strongly about that.
No, I agree. Shanghai Noon.
Not seen it? Is that one of your...
It's one of my Jackie Chan's.
Yeah.
My Jackie Chan's, but Owen Wilson. A young Owen Wilson paired up with Jackie Chan. I tell you what, I really enjoyed that.
Why does Jackie Chan always have to get paired up with someone?
Well, because it's like, someone to speak English and Jackie Chan to kick someone.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's what it is. And Owen Wilson, they were very good. It was a real nice surprise little double act because mm-hmm. Owen Wilson was all drawling and him going being laconic and sarcastic about things.
Uh-huh.
And Jackie Chan's talking very quickly and kicking people in the face.
Okay.
And it kind of worked. It was kind of funny. Like, if you're a 12-year-old kid, you'd fucking eat that shit.
I am a 12-year-old kid.
I liked it.
Okay.
I hated scary movies so much I went to see it in England.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
So, I think I probably got taken in by friends.
Yeah.
There's
no
way I would have paid money.
Say no more.
All right, so, Snatch.
What about it? I thought we were talking about films. Hey-o!
I'm talking about... I liked Guy Ritchie back then. I remember seeing...
Was that before you two fell out?
Yeah, we fell out over some things I said about his abilities as a human being. But, because I remember seeing Lock, Stock at cinema when there was absolutely, there was no...
Oh, yeah, here we go. Before anyone thought it was cool.
Yeah, it was. Total Film had given it 10 stars. they'd given it 2 stars, and they said, this film is rubbish.
Everyone was screaming about that film when it came out.
Absolute bollocks. I'll tell you what,
in Oxford, mate, that was a pretty big hit.
Yeah, right. I'm saying it was hardly covered in the press. Total Film gave it a tiny review. They gave it 2 stars. And I went to see it with my older brother and his friends, and I felt like a cool kid.
Yeah, I bet you did. Yeah.
And I thought, I hadn't seen a film like that before, mm-hmm. with all mm-hmm. them like smash cuts and like twirly yeah. upside down cameras and yeah. zooms and like, you've done what? What are you talking about? We're going to have to get some money. Oh no!
I honestly think that was the first time anyone had ever seen like a sort of snappy. Action film with Cockneys
yeah.
talking funny.
Yeah.
Because like, you'd had the craze, but there's no humour in that.
No.
And it's totally overblown and too full on. And then, yeah, so it invented a genre, really.
Well, and everyone's like, oh, we've got the British Tarantino. And you're sort of thinking, we don't. I wish we did.
Well.
But not really.
How unfair that is.
He's the British...
Fairly accurate.
No, he's not. I mean, I don't like Quentin Tarantino, but Guy Ritchie is not even fucking fit to wash his socks. Tarantino's first film is not a flashy film. It's almost like a play, and it's nice and punchy, and it's 90 minutes, Reservoir Dogs, boom. His second film is a portmanteau of 3 different stories.
Mm-hmm.
Guy Ritchie's first film is a knockabout farce about a bunch of cockneys with some missing guns. And his right. second film is the same thing, but with a bigger budget.
Yeah.
So to call him a British Tarantino is like really us trying so hard to...
Say it.
No, I know, but you're sort of going... No, I'm just saying it's bullshit.
I'm just going along with it.
So yeah, I saw Snatch. Yeah, what are you going to do about it? I thought it was all right. Mm-hmm. Thought all right. It was fine. I thought...
I prefer it to Lock, Stock.
It's in my pile twice. I saw it twice.
That's what she said.
I saw it so much that I saw it twice in the space of a month. I saw it on the 28th of the 8th and the 8th of the 9th.
Cool,
so
man.
In the space of, it's all right.
Are we just into you seeing stuff twice now?
Did
you see anything twice?
I saw, there's few films that I've seen twice, and then none of them. I should have seen Three Kings twice.
Yeah.
I saw Snatch twice. I like the beginning.
Something else.
The beginning of Snatch is great with Benicio del Toro.
Yeah.
And he's in the lift and he's dressed as a Hasidic Jew.
Yeah.
And he's talking about the mistranslation of the Bible.
Yeah.
And about how it's not the Virgin Mary. It's mm-hmm. just one simple character and it means something else. I was like, oh, yeah, man, right. This is good.
And that's nothing like a Tarantino film, is it?
He ripped it off. Yeah, he's magpieing off the magpie.
Oh, yeah, right, fair enough. What's the next one?
Jeff's upset because I told him he was a kid.
I'm not, sorry, I'm just winding you up.
Oh, brother, where art thou?
Oh, well.
You're right there, aren't you?
Allude.
So, right opposite me.
Where are our brothers?
Yeah, there you go. I start seeing good stuff again. We're out of the fucking shit hot summer season. I'm starting to see some good stuff.
Okay, that's great. Well, yeah, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I alluded to it earlier. Fucking fantastic. And as a fan of folk music, they pulled out all the old Alan Lomax field recordings that he'd made in, I think it was the 50s. He went round, this guy went round not just America, but the whole world and documented all these folk singers who were sort of well-known in the local communities and just recorded them so that there's, you know, there would be this library of them. Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, when they were making that, the Coen brothers went through all his archives and they got a load of the songs out and got people to perform them again, which I think is fucking brilliant. And it just, it's a really good way of making a music-heavy film without it being annoying. They managed to really fucking pull it off.
Because I was a massive Kevin Smith fan. I was a massive Coen Brothers fan.
I know you were.
I was a massive Coen Brothers fan at the time, but they'd done Blood Simple,
mm-hmm.
they'd done Miller's Crossing,
mm-hmm.
Fargo, up to that point. So you sort of have a sort of idea of the sort of films they're going to make, and that really sort of confused me, I think. I would have seen The Big Lebowski by then as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hadn't fully come to terms with The Big Lebowski even yet.
Yeah. Then.
And, I was like, everyone loved that film straight away, and mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, what? This is not what I was expecting. Or not even that, I just didn't really know what to think about it.
How I felt the first two times I saw The Big Lebowski. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
I don't get this.
But then, just you keep watching that, progressively, both of them. Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, I've seen it fewer times, but, you just sort of think, it just gets funny. It's so funny.
Yeah. And it's a really, you know, it's a really good caper movie.
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, it kind of ties in with Raising Arizona and mm-hmm. Hudsucker Proxy. And then you're like, I go back to them, you kind of then go, oh, there's this whole other strain of their films, which are kind of like screwball comedies. They kind of do bloody, darkly funny crime films.
Yeah.
And screwball comedies.
Yeah.
Not just those, but they're kind of, you know, you could pen and make a fair few films of theirs on those things. And it's great. They just surprise you. Just when you think and you want them to do a certain film, they'll mm-hmm. come and do something completely different.
Yeah, which they're still doing now. Although they've slightly lost their way a bit. But Brother, Where Art Thou was probably the last time that at that point I was just like, these guys are the best people in the world for doing that.
Yeah, I mean, A Serious Man, I kind of struggled with.
I quite like that, but it wasn't the same. It just wasn't the same quality.
Mm. Burn After Reading, I kind of found funny, but very throwaway.
Didn't see it. Didn't bother. Everyone told me it was awful.
I didn't think it was awful. It's very. The problem. Yeah. Anyway, fuck it. We'll come. I've seen there are some other of their films that I've got in my little stash. Uh-huh. That we'll come on to Shaft.
Okay.
Christian Bale.
Is he in that?
Your favourite
really?
Actor.
Again, I didn't see that one.
Well, you love Christian Bale so much, why don't you fucking watch it? Don't love him that much, do you?
Well, no, remember at that time I didn't love him. I thought he was a cock.
Why haven't you seen it since?
Because why would I want to?
Christian Bale's in it. Hey?
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
If I like an actor.
It's kind of interesting. It could be loads better, but it's written by scripted by a guy called Richard Price,
uh-huh.
who's a really great novelist who wrote Clockers and some really other great books.
Yeah,
directed by Boys in the Hood director John Singleton.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Boys in the Hood's a good film. Samuel Jackson is John Shaft.
Mm-hmm. Who saw that coming?
I mean, the thing is, that's kind of casting is just so on the nose.
Yeah,
it's like, well, I don't need to see this film.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt.
I've seen you be John Shaft.
But also, I knew who the character was as a kind of cultural icon, not from watching the TV show or anything. It's just like, it's just another.
Sorry.
Wasn't it a TV show?
No, it was a
film.
It's a blaxploitation series.
I thought it was a TV show.
No, it was a blaxploitation '70s thing.
Well, whatever.
It might have been a TV. It's like, could have been.
They probably had a spin-off thing as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had no connection to it. It's just like, it's another one of those things that's just like tacky, cheesy stuff, and it's like them trying to sort of ironically do it. And no, like, what if it's actually really cool? What if you do like a cool version?
No,
it's
no,
like
it was
very knowing, and it's. I was never into all that.
It
stuff,
was, you know? Well, that's the thing. It's not any of those things. I will give it that. It's not ironic. It's not knowing. It's just really. It's not knowing.
It's fucking, just stupid.
It's no, no. It's not even. It's pretty down the line. Kind of dull sort of cop thriller, but there's no kind of trying to cash in on
that. Yeah, there is.
I've seen it.
There's
twice.
Yeah, but there's at one point Samuel L. Jackson like is like slamming someone's head into a table screaming, "What's my name, motherfucker?"
Yeah, that's for the trailer. But yeah, that it's
fuck all that. I'm not interested.
If it wasn't called Shaft, it would be very anonymous. Fucking hell, I can't believe I saw this. Me, Myself, and Irene.
Oh, I like that film.
I fucking hated that film.
It's I not loved, good, but I like it.
I really loved the Farrelly brothers at that point.
Do you like Kingpin?
Yeah, Kingpin, yeah. Dumb and Dumber, yeah. And Mary. Something About Mary, which yeah. also has been done. And yeah. then they did that. Mm. I love Jim Carrey. That film is appalling. It's appalling.
Look, it is pretty bad, but there's some good humour in it.
There's one funny fade where he starts doing a poo on his neighbour's lawn, and it does like a kind of a jump cut fade to someone pouring like a Mr. Whippy ice cream.
I think you like that.
That is funny.
Well, that's obviously
that's
your
stone
level.
Cold humour.
That's obviously your level of humour.
And then the kids, his kids who swear all the time.
Yeah.
But
I think at least they were trying to do something original. I always like the joke when, and I think about it quite a lot, and it makes me crack up.
Tell me.
Where his wife's like leaving him for that little black midget.
Mm. Midgets and are funny, like, aren't they?
They are funny.
They were funny back then. So
and he's running out of the house, and he's like, why are you doing this? Let's talk about this. Like, you said we were going to go to Iceland and eat whale blubber. And then the little black midget's like sticking his suitcase in the car, and he goes, oh, she'll be eating blubber, all right, just as soon as I have free willy.
Fucking hell, man.
And then she just gets up with him.
That's just like...
It's really funny.
Should we kind of retroactively try and make this joke so this man can say
of course,
words? But that's appalling.
No, it's just lowbrow comedy. There's it's a place not just, for lowbrow. It's not you just... went to see Kevin and Perry Go Large 3 times.
That's Kevin and Perry Go Large is funnier than Me, Myself and Irene. Well, I'm going to fucking put my
again,
flag
it's
on
another one of your Adam
that.
Richmond statements that then people come up to him and say, yeah, I don't know what you're talking
that's
about.
Definitely,
you were right about
that's
that.
That's definitely true. That's definitely true.
Well, maybe we should watch them side by side. Be a good double bill.
Bring it on.
No. Why the fuck did you go and see that?
God. I mean...
Honestly, explain yourself.
On paper, it looks bad. I was a grown man. And
well,
I went,
clearly not.
And I went. I was an 18-year-old man. 19, 20. I went
Who
to,
thought you were a 14-year-old girl.
And I went to see a film about cheerleaders.
Uh-huh.
Now, that looks bad on paper. They weren't 14, they're grown-up women in that.
Oh, so that makes it all
Kirsten
right.
Kirsten Dunst is in it.
Oh, I see.
Elijah
okay.
Dushku's, they've got...
So I was worried that you were, like, attracted to the characters. But no, if you just went because you're, you know, really interested in this story about fucking cheerleaders as an 18-year-old man. Yeah.
Now, on paper, it looks bad.
Uh-huh.
But I had read that it was a funny... comedy.
Where did you read that?
I read it in Empire. Why am I not allowed to see certain films because I'm a man?
Oh my god, it was good.
I'm not
it was probably
see,
really good.
I'm not allowed to see Chicken Run because I'm not a fucking 5-year-old kid.
You can see Chicken Run.
What, and I'm not allowed to, so it's hypocrisy.
That film isn't made for you. You're not welcome there.
Well, bring it on or
yeah.
Chicken Run.
No, bring
well,
it on.
Chicken Run's not made for you either.
It was. Chicken Run's like an enjoy all ages film.
So bring it on, mate. Oh, fucking all
is
ages.
It? Oh, okay, well, yeah. What's your
best? Dirty Old Men.
Must see? Is it a must see?
It's a must see.
Oh, okay.
It's very funny.
Go on then, sum it up.
Sweet. You know, it's got a lovely little Kirsten Dunst again. She was coming into her own. It's a sort of sweet, funny, shy kind of girl. And there's got a lovely little... She falls in love with some boy. They've stolen some moves from a rival team, and they've got to like practice a lot. It's sort of like Rocky. Brilliant. With cheerleaders.
Cool. Well, I have a feeling that any girls / women listening to this are going to be like, "Oh, I love that film. Oh, Adam's really cool. He's so right."
they will. It's a good film, but they'll like suddenly I'm painted as some kind of. Some kind of ne'er-do-well.
I just think it's a bit weird that you went to see it.
I went to see it with... Yeah, I went to see it with other people.
Okay. Who? What people? What were their names?
A mate from uni.
Oh, yeah. Who's John that? Uni. Was it the caretaker? Do you want to go to cinema sometime?
I wanted to see that one about the cheerleaders.
What kind of world do we live in where everything is as smutty aside and we don't see anything out of purity? I went to see Rise of the Guardians and it's a kid's film. And
that's different.
In the day, and like I'm like, oh, you went to see that? I went to see Puss in Boots.
Right. What are you saying?
On my own. And then we're like, why'd you go see Puss in Boots?
Yeah, why did you see
because
that?
Because I wanted to see that. And a scale of animation on the cinema that was produced by Guillermo del Toro. I mean, I didn't even fucking like Shrek movies, but I was like, oh, this will be
surprise.
Funny. Zach Galifianakis does the egg. I thought, oh, that's funny.
Sounds like you're making it up.
Fucking John Candy plays the giant beanstalk. You know, they pop on Eddie Murphy as a wisecracking donkey. Now, that is actually what happened. Fucking leave me alone.
Okay.
Road Trip.
Yep. Another one of my dad's favourite films. He's got that on DVD for some reason, which is the only reason I've watched it. But he has it in... he has a little holiday flat in Devon that I occasionally go up to. Mm. And I always watch that every time I'm there. So yeah, I don't know what that tells you.
It kind of came in right in the wake of American Pie.
Yeah.
It's like great, smutty... Great. It was supposed to be sort of great, smutty humour. You know, you kind of... You see women's breasts and boys smoke weed and someone says fuck and you go, whee,
yeah.
Fucking comedy.
Yeah, and it's got Tom Green in it, lest we forget.
Oh, whatever happened.
I don't know if he even exists anymore.
Yeah, I would never, that's fucking rubbish. But I saw, this was a bad day. I saw Road Trip at 7:30 and then I hung around for Hollow Man at 9:30.
Oh, nice. You wanted to get to the gritty stuff. Yeah, I've had your fun now.
You've had your fun, yeah.
Now I need a noir thriller starring Kevin Bacon's.
And directed by Paul Verhoeven. What if The Invisible Man happened? That's not a good film.
Uh-huh.
Not a good film. So we'll skip off from Hollow Man. You know, Paul Verhoeven had some chops.
He
back
did.
In the days.
Yeah.
Starship Troopers, Robocops. But yeah, he's done nothing. And that was the first step on that.
Way of the Gun!
We're into November and we're into Way of the Gun. I told you about that. Chris McQuarrie.
Yep.
You, oh no, actually, we're going to come back to Way of the Gun because that's actually later in the month.
Oh, well, you've ruined it now.
No, it's fine.
Well, no, you've said it now.
No, it's good because it matches up. Okay, no.
Look at what?
Okay, fine. Way of the Gun.
Yeah.
It's a good film. Okay. I've talked about it loads.
All right, good.
Memento.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you think of that?
I know we're flagging, but...
Did you know what you were going into when you went into there?
All I knew was that it was supposed to be very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I was excited that it was actually even getting shown in Norwich. And I came out... Yeah, blew my head.
Yeah.
Off. Blew me away.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because I knew... I saw that, I think, on VHS, rented. And my brother was like, what this is, right, is it's a film that's backwards. And I was like, well, how does that work? And he was like, no, you just get one scene and then you see what happened before it. And it goes like that all the way back through the film. And I was like, whoa. And then I watched it. But I wonder what that would be like if you didn't know that.
Yeah. Well,
how long would it take for you to get it?
It was amazing.
You'd just be like, what the fuck is going on?
I picked up pretty
quick.
Okay. I'm pretty smart.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it was just amazing. You sort of think, this is where cinema can take you. This is what cinema can do if anyone fucking bothers.
Yeah.
And no one's even...
On a budget as well.
But, well, no, just narratively. You know, you don't need money to...
Exactly.
But
that's it. It's relying on the things that count rather than, like, excusing itself like a film like Gladiator might have done and gone, like, people are going to love this because they put all this money into it. And it's like... No, what if you're thinking completely outside the box? And again, man, fucking performances, you know? The way across the board, some really, really good, convincing characters that just put you in.
So many rules, though. Like, there's so much voiceover in that.
There had to be, though.
No, but it's... You forget about how much... Robert McKee, the guy who sort of parodied an adaptation, that guy gives these lectures about how to write the great script. Yeah. He's like, you can't do voiceover.
Mm-hmm. Well, usually that's true. It's really fucking irritating, but...
But that's... Oh, it's just fucking fantastic.
Considering that the whole film was about a man's relationship with himself, it kind of works in that context, perhaps.
Chopper.
Yes. We've discussed that before.
Chopper's a mate. I mean, I went
It's sad now to think of Eric Bana. Did we say that before?
Yeah, it's very sad to think of him now.
What become of him going from that?
Yeah, that happens. It happens to a lot of guys. Hollywood just doesn't know what to do with them.
I guess so. But, you know, he could be part of this.
Put him in an action movie. Put him in a superhero movie. That's it. That's all they can do.
Well, that's your fate. Ang Lee did that. You love him.
Don't make me Ang Lee. Meet the Parents.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking hell.
Fine. I don't mind Meet the Parents. Makes me laugh.
Laughed a lot at that.
Yeah, there you go.
Went to see Wave the Gun again.
Okay.
That film's fucking amazing. That's
warranted.
I saw that twice.
I won't be judgmental on that one.
I did just see Scary Movie twice.
Oh, so you saw things you actually liked twice.
I saw Wave the Gun twice.
Oh.
you're going to fucking kill me for
Come
this.
On.
Charlie's Angels.
Oh! I mean, the thing is, I can understand why you went to see it. But I've never seen any of those. And, I mean, it's so obvious that you're wasting your time.
Bill Murray was in it.
So what?
Drew Barrymore produced it. Sam Rockwell's in it.
So what? But he was no one at that point.
But he sort of lights the screen up when he's on.
I bet he does. He's a brilliant actor. But why? I mean, what hope could there possibly be in seeing Charlie's Angels?
Not much.
Yeah. Well, am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Oh, sorry.
You're
about
just
that.
A fucking asshole. Quote my favourite film. and then we're on a real downer.
Sorry.
Huh?
You said you can't fucking stand that people quote The Big Lebowski.
Sorry.
In our first podcast.
Yeah, I can't.
You
stand
went mental about it.
Yeah, but I didn't just quote it. I said that naturally.
Oh yeah.
That's cool. Natural words. It just matches up, and then I went. Ugh. Oh, don't hold me to my own fucking standards, can.
Well, no.
The Family Man.
What's that? That rings a bell.
Nick Cage is in it.
Yeah.
Directed by Brett Ratner. It's kind of like It's a Wonderful Life if it was directed by a 12-year-old who has no understanding of anything.
Family Man. Is there some sort of weird... But it's like a Groundhog Day kind of thing.
Sort of. It's like Nick Cage is... he's an executive who's a cunt. And he gets...
Nick Cage is an executive who's a cunt.
He goes back and he sees... I don't know if he gets a knock on the head or something bullshit, but he gets plunged back into his... If he'd stayed with his high school sweetheart or something.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I think I have seen
he's
this.
He's got kids
just blotted
and
it out of my brain.
And then they... He kind of is like, oh, this is bullshit. This is not what I want. But then, of course, he really falls for the life, and his frozen heart melts.
Uh-huh.
But then, of course, it's all kind of some fantasy.
Yeah.
And then, but then
that's when Peggy Sue got married as well. Like,
yeah, I guess it is
complete ripoff.
I kind of liked it at the cinema. I only saw the one. I just thought, yeah, it's not. Yeah, fucking just watch It's a Wonderful Life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finished off 29th. This was the 29th of December, 2000.
Yep.
Watched Unbreakable.
Ooh! M. Night Shyamalan's only bearable film.
Shyamalan.
And a pretty good one.
Aylesbury Odeon.
Don't know if we've talked about that. That's another film that I would actually... when I first watched Batman Begins, I thought they've watched Unbreakable.
I thought it was excellent when I first saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was it's an adult take on. I understand what you're saying. It's an adult take on a comic book movie, but you don't even know that's what you're watching.
Yeah, that's exactly.
You go into a film and you think, I'm going to watch a film that's got Bruce Willis in, and something happened.
And it was after The Sixth Sense, wasn't it?
Yeah. But you sort of, people talk, were talking about twists about his work, Shyamalan's work then, but not too much.
Yeah.
So you're just going in and you're, again, you sort of go in with not knowing much, and you're like, you from the trailer, you knew that there'd been a train crash and Bruce Willis is the only person to survive. And you're like, great. That's all I need to know.
Uh-huh.
And then this story unfolds. And then it's only kind of eight years after people slowly started actually, because it didn't do so well, but it kind of seeps in what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing an origin story for a superhero.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
In like an indie style. Like the whole style of it is like a Fincher. It's like Seven or something.
Yeah, but imagine that. It's like you're not sitting someone down and going, you're just about to watch an origin story.
Yeah.
You're just going, you're going to watch a film. I mean, how rare is that?
Well, also because it's a nondescript superhero, which is really, really interesting. But it takes the superhero out of the equation. It's like the villain is the one who's obsessed with fucking superheroes and stuff. Bruce Willis doesn't want anything to do with it. And that just, to me, thematically, that's so clever. That works really, really well for a film like that.
It's not. I don't know if it's maligned. I think it's just fucking ignored and forgotten.
It's a bit daft, but it's his only good film that I can think of.
I mean, I like The Sixth Sense.
Mm.
I think it's fine. Coming in.
So,
what's she want?
All right.
Hello.
How's it going?
Your dinner's ready soon.
Nice one, thanks.
Your tea's ready.
Do you like The Sixth Sense?
Yeah.
Oh, forget it.
What? The bloody twist.
Oh, the twist.
See that one coming.
It's not just the twist. Everyone's unfairly ragging on the twist. There's some lovely moments when he's sitting down with his wife.
Yeah.
And you think she's upset because he's come late.
Oh,
but he's not
I
there.
Know.
That's a really that's a really well-written moment.
Yeah.
The moment of the scene where she's all those scenes between him and her. You think you're watching a film where she's upset and let down by her husband. You think you're watching a marriage crumbling.
I know.
Right.
I know I do.
No, listen. And at the end.
At the end. It's a twist.
It's not just that. At the end, you're seeing a woman who's dealing with grief.
Yeah.
And it plays both ways. That is so hard to write. And everyone rags on it.
Maybe.
That's
maybe.
So unfair.
I think a lot of it, though, is down to just editing, though.
Well, obviously.
Like, you can nail that in the end.
Anyone just goes, oh, what happened in between that bit? What happened when that happened? Like,
No, I don't mean that, though. I just mean that you could get that one bit where she looked pissed off and that you could just cut that down and go, just have that. Then it's totally ambiguous as to why she's doing it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, but then it's still really well made.
It's a cool idea. I just think ghosts are fucking retarded.
Well, the ghost bits are good. Don't you think they're scary?
They are quite creepy, but the concept of ghosts, I don't like ghosts.
I agree. So. Ghosts are bullshit.
Ghosts are
brilliant.
No.
Superheroes, fine.
The only good...
Woo! Now that's creepy.
The only good ghost was the ring. The girl in the ring. Yeah, I agree. I don't believe in ghosts. I don't think it's bullshit. You just saw
the... She is a ghost, isn't she? Just thinking about that.
But... Yeah, Unbreakable is, it's just really, it's unfairly forgotten because it's got that
well,
stuff.
Well, he wanted to do a sequel, lest we forget. I'm so glad he didn't.
It's a shame because, he just ended up doing progressively worse stuff. I think the stuff that really kind of sticks out in a bad way, in a silly way, is Samuel L. Jackson's character's obsession with comic books
mm-hmm.
and the constant referencing to comic books. I think if you take that, dial that down just a bit, you've got a far more nuanced and interesting film.
Might have been lacking something.
No, just dial it down a bit, because he's constantly talking about
it. I don't like where he said they used to call him Glass Man.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a rubbish superhero. Glass Man! It's like, that doesn't sound intimidating.
Yeah.
They could have thought of something better, but, you know. He was a good character, and again, it's one of those roles in which you're reminded that Samuel L. Jackson... You know, can fucking act. He can do more than what he's known for.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You take away... Okay, don't be cool.
With that.
Don't be cool. Don't, you know,
Don't be a fucking loud mouth.
Yeah, just be angry and just like.
Let's give you.
Yeah, you can say to him like, you've been bitter all your life. You know, you've had a fucking horrible life, and you're passionate about this one thing. And he goes, fine, and he does it, and it's really, really convincing. As opposed to just going like, here's a gun, slam that guy's head into the table and shout, "What's my name, motherfucker?"
Yeah, two Samuel L. Jackson films.
Yeah.
In a year.
Well, good for him.
Well, no, for me. Eh? What
good
year?
For you.
Hey, what do you think about my
good
year?
Good for black people in general.
What do you think of my year in cinema? Hey, what do you think?
So, I was going to ask you that. Good year? It's the first year of a new millennium on film. Did it live up to the promise?
It started off so promisingly.
Yeah, it did, I must say.
I mean, there's some amazing, amazing films.
Yeah.
Some bona fide classics
in
2000. And other films that were shit, so shit that I wanted to see them twice.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I don't know, I can't. I look at these films. What was I doing? I saw most of these. Most of this 2000 is in Hemel Hempstead, and there's. But then I was at uni. I've got a kind of a chunk at uni. I don't know where my. I don't know what I didn't. I didn't see as many films in. Maybe I was working quite hard.
It's always possible, man, that you were working quite hard. I don't know.
And then I'd come home for big chunks of time. To Aylesbury, and I'd see.
That's
cinemas.
What you did to get away from your terrible broken home life.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'd never really fucking. I didn't ever really give a shit about university. I didn't have the fun that everyone else.
Well,
did.
You did English literature, didn't you?
No, I did politics.
What?
I did politics.
Did you?
Yeah, that's why I spent all my time at the cinema.
Sorry, I thought you did English literature.
No.
Why did I think that?
Because I pretend.
I've asked you that. I reckon on this podcast I've asked you that, and you've gone, yeah, that's right.
No, I did politics.
You did a politics degree?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
That was a good year. I mean, for standout films, films that kind of spoke to me and changed me.
Yeah.
Memento, Being John Malkovich.
Yeah.
The Insider, to a lesser extent, but still, like, it's a stunning piece of work.
Me, Myself, and Irene.
Yeah. And The Way of the Gun, I absolutely loved as well. And Three Kings, I think, is such an important film.
Yeah.
And it needs to be talked about.
Oft overlooked. I hope, again, as I always say, I hope people are taking notes of this. If you haven't seen these things, go and watch them. We wouldn't recommend them lightly.
I mean, imagine, I look at this, we just talked about all of these films, and I just, they've all just flowed away.
What do you mean?
Like,
of them.
Yeah.
But that's what happens to most things. That's why it's like, it takes something really, really special to.
Because out of these, what's stuck in the canon? There's Memento.
Yeah, but also it's about, like, what leads on to what. So, like, it's like Memento opened the door for Chris Nolan to go on to.
But that's it, like, Memento's definitely. It's always in every single DVD shop. Well, when they're still around. That's there, like, that's.
Maybe, but do you think if Chris Nolan. Like, do you think if he, like, died or something after that film, do you think it would be remembered as much?
Yeah, that's massive.
Or would it be like this underground cult
thing? No. Memento is massive, and it's there. It's great. It's in the top 100 of every. Like, it's always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's. But, like, all these other films, I'm looking at them, I'm thinking, well, they're all forgotten. What have I seen? Why have I seen Kevin and Perry Go Large? I thought that would be a fucking one for the ages.
Well, you never know. I mean, it's like when we look back on these things now, maybe it'll be the same, but.
I don't think. Like, do you think Argo? I don't. Well, you haven't seen it. I haven't seen it yet. Argo is going to fall away as quickly as, say, Forrest Gump, which was on telly.
I know. I was considering watching it.
Major fans.
I couldn't be bothered. I decided.
Well, fans of our Twitter feed will know that I watched it and I commented on.
Oh, did you?
Twitter as I.
Oh, I didn't check that.
You should read it back. I tweeted some hilarious.
Did you say yes? I admit it. I am Lieutenant Dan.
I didn't, but
Lieutenant Dan on the reunion New Year's Eve sequence.
Yeah, I wasn't being snarky about it. I don't know how I feel about
commenting on a film as I'm watching it. I've seen that film so many times, though, I felt like I could. But like the special effects of Lieutenant Dan's legs,
yeah,
they don't stand up so good, man. You can see, you can just imagine his legs sticking out.
Okay.
But it's like a kind of a magic eye thing. If you kind of squint your eyes, you can see this kind of stick of the end of his leg,
right,
like moving around. There's a couple of moments. Okay. It's weird. I can't really describe it. Anyway,
it's sort of like a phantom leg syndrome in someone that doesn't have missing.
Yeah, like
legs.
The rest of the scenery. It's like they're like holding the scenery in front of his of his legs to cover them up.
Right. Well, I remember my uncle taking us to that. Occasionally, we'd come to London to see my uncle. He was a very flamboyant. He's still around.
Still is.
Very flamboyant guy, and he'd be like, "You must see this film. You must see this film. Amazing." We went to see it, and it was the first time I've ever cried in the cinema.
Oh, really?
Well, I was only little.
How little?
15? 14?
Oh, yeah, I would have been. I would have been about 15, because I saw it twice.
So I found it really moving, and there's some sort of associated memory magic every time I do watch it. But, I mean, it's like we say, Tom Hanks playing some guy with an unspecified retardation.
Yeah, man, it really plays to the cheap seats.
Oh, I tell you what, you know, I'd mention to you, Adam, not listeners, that I'd read this fairly interesting article about, like, the top 10 sort of theories about films.
Yeah.
And one of them was Forrest Gump, and they said that a lot of people think that the kid isn't his kid, and that she only said that to him because she knew that she wasn't going to be sticking around and she thought he was a sweet guy. So it's like...
Yeah, but that's not so interesting because in the book, it's not his kid.
Is it based on a book?
Yeah.
I've forgotten that.
The book sounds...
Who wrote the book?
Oh, some guy. They didn't... There was a controversy around it because they didn't talk about the author of the book when it won all these awards. They ignored him. And then he...
That's fucked.
I know, yeah. They really fucked on him. Fucked on him, shit.
They really fucked on him.
But the book's different.
Get off, guys. Let me see.
Hollywood executives just standing over, just jizzing over him.
It's a sign of respect where I come from.
Forrest swears a lot more.
Uh-huh.
He swears a lot, actually, in the book.
Well, what's he got? Tourette's.
He's a cusser. He cusses.
Okay.
So they made him not...
People don't cuss, mate.
Exactly. We want to make him a kind of an idiot... Well, he's more of an idiot savant as well.
Yeah.
He's amazing at chess.
Yeah, and ping pong and stuff.
Chess is... ping pong's for fucking... Anyone can do that. He's good at chess in the book.
He's good at chess in the film as well, isn't he?
No, he doesn't play chess once.
Doesn't he?
No.
Oh.
He's not an idiot savant in the film.
Right.
And then also... So in the book, she ends up with someone else that has his kid, and
right.
I don't think he ends up raising the kid. There's a whole other fucking bit in the book where he goes into space with a monkey.
Okay,
I'm not joking. Right?
Yeah.
He crash lands and he spends 4 years with a monkey in a tribe of cannibals.
No.
Yes.
No, right. So
I'm not joking.
This is Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
We've already done this. It wasn't very good. It's just Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
No. Is that really true?
That's the book.
Right, that sounds like the stupidest book in the world.
And it got made into a movie and they were like, this doesn't work. Let's take him out.
It's really weird they took that bit out.
Well, I mean, I couldn't see... I don't know. I kind of... The film... You're so broad.
I love the fact that we're suddenly talking about Forrest Gump for no reason. It's like we've been waiting to do this the whole time. This is what we really wanted.
It was
like,
just on...
Let's just talk about Forrest fucking Gump.
Let's get on the thing. But that's the thing, no one talks about that film anymore.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah.
It beat Pulp Fiction in the Oscars.
Well, they do. It
beat Pulp Fiction in the Oscars. Yeah, think about that when I say it.
Well, yeah, fine. I can totally understand that.
But no one talks about Forrest Gump anymore. Everyone talks about Pulp Fiction. Everyone talks about Tarantino.
I don't think people really do talk about Pulp Fiction
anymore. They do. They do, my friend. They can't fucking shut up about it.
No, I don't know.
I wish I'd never seen it. No, that's not true.
Well.
I just wish... No. I just think it's interesting that these films, they flit in and out.
Yeah. It's one thing to knock a good film together, and it's an impressive thing. Or a half-decent film, but to make something that really stands out, it takes people with balls and, like, a unique vision. And often, even if it is M. Night Shyamalan going, like, I want to do a superhero film, You know, at least it fucking stands out. At least it's something different, so people remember it. And it becomes, in a sense, influential over time. And that's really amazing. And just the way that that would snowball. I think it really did influence this Dark Knight trilogy. I think they got a lot of that from that.
Yeah.
I honestly do.
Well, it's unacknowledged and unrecognised at the minute, because...
Well, there is the bit where Batman says to Alfred, like, oh, as a symbol, I can be everlasting, unbreakable.
Oh.
Which is what made me think that. But the tone's similar, and it, you know.
No, yeah, I think you're right, but then it's not acknowledged, and out of that, there's being John Malkovich, Memento. And, you know, I'm talking about recognised canon films.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Three Kings, I think, has been kind of forgotten about.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Definitely been forgotten about.
And then you look at things like Gladiator, and everyone's like, "Oh, Gladiator!" Yeah, exactly. And you're like, "Why? Why is that remembered?"
Yeah, because
they had a big budget.
Because everyone went to fucking see it and shared in the fucking experience.
But also, no one really liked it that much.
But everyone loved it, mate. Everyone loved it
at the time.
No, still do. Still do. Mums love it.
Mums.
If mums love it, it's in the canon.
Well, mums. My mum don't love it.
Apologies if people didn't like us doing two cinema ticket episodes in a row. But
well, I think they would. We've still got other plans, but like I say, we're very busy at the moment. We've got a lot of important things to do.
Yeah, and the material is sat right around us to talk about. So
yeah, exactly.
Thanks for listening.
But we live it, don't we?
Again, this has probably been split into two parts.
I would have thought so.
So this is the end of part two.
Great. Well, I'm Jeff Gleese.
I'm Adam Richmond.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Yeah. Bye.